Hey, it's Drex from This Week Health Cyber and Risk Community, and I want to invite you to our next webinar. It's going to focus on what else? Defending health data. I'll be chatting with experts from Rubrik and Microsoft. Register right now at thisweekhealth.com/rubrikwebinar. That's all one string, R-U-B-R-I-K webinar, thisweekhealth.com/rubrikwebinar. See you online soon.
Today in Health IT, Epic versus Particle Health, and the larger discussion around health information exchange. My name is Bill Russell. I'm a former CIO for a 16 hospital system and creator of This Week Health, a set of channels and events dedicated to transform healthcare one connection at a time. We want to thank our show sponsors who are investing in developing the next generation of health leaders, notable ServiceNow, Enterprise Health, Parlance, Certify Health, and Panda Health. Check them out at thisweekhealth.com/today. All right, this and every other news story we talk about, you can find on our website, thisweekhealth.com/news. Check it out today. And one last thing, we want you to mentor someone. Share this podcast with a friend or colleague. Use it as a foundation for daily or weekly discussions on topics that are relevant to you in the industry. They can subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. All right, this is the, this is the event that everybody's talking about today, Epic v. Particle. I have two sources. One is Brendan Keeler's Substack newsletter. He is, and it's titled Epic v. Particle. So sort of took that from him. The other is the healthcare blog. So Matthew Holt, if data is the new oil, there's going to be a war. And boy, is that true. While there's been skirmishes over the years, but now we're seeing the skirmishes escalate a little bit, and it's getting interesting. I'm going to stick to Brendan's for a little bit here to give you some background. You guys know a lot of the background. My listeners are healthcare professionals. When I say the word care everywhere, you know what we're talking about here. We're talking about epic to epic sharing of information. Care quality is the equivalent for epic to non-epic exchange. Commonwell was a competing network, essentially stood up by Cerner, Meditech, and others. And then they essentially, Commonwell and Care Quality, were competing networks, but then there was a union of these two networks into the eHealth Exchange. And it created a significant network for the sharing of data. He goes on, and some of this is going to get into the weeds a little bit, and so some of you may or may not know this stuff. He goes on, EHRs were the initial organization that joined and formed Care Quality and Commonwealth. Both networks began to allow on-ramps to the network to make implementation easier, especially as Commonwealth defined a Commonwealth connector in 2020. These on-ramps insulate their customers from some of the pain points of using the network, much like Stripe does for credit cards. They offer value adds such as an easy API translation from legacy standards into a more modern FHIR, deduplication of data, user interfaces, integration of retrieved data into EHRs, and more. Notable first generation on-ramps were Particle Health Gorilla, No2, KNO2, number two, Zeus Health, Redox Access, SureScripts, RLE, OneRecord, InterSystems. And you should be familiar with the TEFCA framework. We've talked about it on the show many times. We've talked to Mickey Tripathi and others on the show at length about the Trusted Exchange Framework and Common Agreement and what that is about. But essentially, that sets up the foundation for sharing and the network that we're looking at today to take this forward that is falling under the guidance of the Sequoia project and the many other players that are connecting into TEFCA. So key concepts in here is purpose of use and reciprocity. Okay, purpose of use has been, and I'm getting a lot of this right from this article. It's a great article. If you haven't had a chance to take a look at it, go ahead, you could hit it on our website and it'll take you over there. And he talks about purpose of use. When accessing health data, the purpose of use has been important since HIPAA. That law and associated regulations recognize that protected health information should only be accessed and used for specific legitimate reasons related to healthcare operations, treatment, and payment, or other permitted purposes. It helps to safeguard the privacy and security of individuals' health information by restricting its use to authorized entities and purposes. Because as you would imagine, these health networks have a ton of information about me and you and everybody else who's out there. And this on-ramp kind of organization gives people a way to connect and get that information. So purpose is very important. And the purpose should be around treatment or payment or healthcare operations. You get the picture. And then you have reciprocity. These networks only work if there is reciprocity, meaning I'll share my data if you share your data. And so if I'm not going to restrict my data from being shared, I expect you not to restrict your data from being shared. And there's a lot of different, he actually pulls a lot of the stuff out here. I'm not going to go into it in too much detail, but he has actual verbiage from the various documents, from Care Quality, from Commonwealth, highlighting these two concepts and what they're about. Okay, with that as the background, we now get into the event. On April 5th, there was a discussion and rumors that Particle Health had been shut off from Care Quality or blocked by Epic. Okay, so there's a couple companies here that we mentioned, some of the on-ramp companies. And those on-ramp companies then have other third parties that are connecting in and getting information. Let me go to some of those real quick, just so you get an idea of who's connecting in here. There was a couple that were listed by name, and I'm going to go through a couple of those. Revealer and MD Portals, which are actually one company now. Let's see, Matthew Holt's blog now. So what do they do? Reveler, says that leveraging our AI-enabled platform with NLP and MD Portal's sophisticated interoperability allows us to deliver providers a pre-encounter clinical summary of patients within their EHR workflow at the point of care. So clearly that is about treatment, which he acknowledges. Sounds like treatment to me. But Revelier also does analysis for health plans. And you can see why hospitals might not like that. So this is Matthew Holt gets the name healthcare curmudgeon for itself, self-professed healthcare curmudgeon for a reason. And he says, but you see how this works. So they're using it for one thing. They're also using it for another. Now, one is clinically motivated and it's around treatment. The other is in support of growth. These VCs want to grow. And in order to grow, they have to sign up these other use cases who are going to utilize the data. And so they went after the health plans. And do you shut off access to Revelier or do you not shut off access to Revelier? That becomes the challenge. Novalia is a PHR company, presumably using treatment to enable consumers to access their data and manage their own care. This is exactly what the 21st Century Cures Act was put in place to do. And actually, he notes this. This is that incident, which we have conflicting stories about, but essentially where Judy says, why does the patient need their record? What are they going to do with it? They're not going to understand it. And there was a back and forth between her and Joe Biden that seems to have been swept under the rug a little bit here, but it's just like everything else. It has enough truth in it that you look at it and you go, yeah, that feels like it probably did happen. PHR company, should they be able to have access to give patients access to the data? I don't know, I'll let you figure that one out. This one's a little more clear cut. Integritort. Yeah, man, these people name their companies really wild. Does sound like it's looking for records so it or its law firm customers can sue someone for bad treatment, or as it turns out, defend them for it. Is that treatment under the HIPAA definition? Almost certainly not. No, it's not. And it's crazy, you know, because it's not in the best interest of a health system to provide access to Integritort to essentially allow people to look at their medical records for an opportunity to sue the health system. If you're the network acting on behalf of the network participants, allowing that access does not seem to make too much sense. Anyway, that gives you an idea of some of the players. So let's get back to the timeline. April 5th, Particle Health has been shut off by Care Quality or blocked. That's the first hearing of it. And it's from Rebecca Mitchell, who's a doctor. I just heard Epic shut Particle Health off from the HIEs. Widespread impact to Particle Health customers. And he goes on, Epic's behavior would be particularly notable in that shutting off traffic of a particular implementer on the network is both unprecedented and disallowed by network rules, except in one specific scenario, as Dave Castle pointed out. All right, so remember, reciprocity and use. So how are they using it? And Dave Castle points this out. A care quality implementer, Epic Particle Health, it is permitted to suspend exchange with another participant if it has reasonable and legitimate concerns related to the privacy and security of information that is exchanged. The caveat is that such a suspension can be kept in place for an extended period only if a formal dispute is initiated. On the 9th, Bobby Gulich and I made a video to discuss the principles of the network. Why might Epic stop responding? Number one, data was being requested by entities without legitimate treatment use case, and or reciprocity of data sharing was not being fulfilled. And clearly they're saying Particle Health is the first. Particle Health posted a statement the same day confirming the rumors and addressing things. Similarly, Troy Bannister, founder of Particle Health, posted a statement in the same day expressing deep concern about Epic's recent decision to stop responding. Their case is essentially, hey, we didn't know this was going to happen. And then, of course, a lot of information comes out that essentially says there had been conversations going on for weeks about this before they finally said, all right, we're just going to shut it down. Troy Bannister, who is, I'm sorry, that's not, Michael Merchant, the Director of Interoperability and Innovation at UC Davis Health and the Chair of the Care Everywhere Governing Council, did show some perspective on why Epic may have taken action at the behest and request of the health system customers who felt they were at risk. Troy Bannister, as chair of the, so he's responding to somebody, of Care Everywhere Governing, I want to assure you that this action was not a unilateral decision by Epic. Evidence shared over the past month appears to indicate not all particle participants should be permitted to exchange under the treatment POU. The direction to move forward, removing directory entries and filing the complaints, was authorized by the Governing Council, and he goes on to talk more about that. And then he cites, again, great article, Epic v. Particle, cites a whole bunch of people who have additional comments on it. Then on April 11th, we have the issue notification, which you can view because he has that in here, and potentially inappropriate disclosures of protected health information through the care quality interoperability framework. The full notice is worth a review, and he gives you access to it. And it cites Integrator, Revelier, MD Portals, amongst others, with regard to it, and has information on that. So he says, what comes next? In his article, he said, what comes next? He hopes it's going to be negotiations to resume exchange over the next couple of days. And that's probably what's going to happen, is that there will be negotiations, conversations. There could be all sorts of entities weighing in on this as we go forward. Let's see. He actually has some really good things to say here. So Brandon says, these events occurred because fraud and abuse are happening because the status quo of the network is only working for treatment leads to worst possible incentives. Health data is needed by a broader set of stakeholders in order to serve the patient. Again, everyone who's looking at this is looking at it through their lens. Health API guy. So he's looking at it through the lens of, hey, how do we deliver better care for the patient? And in order for that to happen, more people need access to that medical record. And he's saying payers need access, health navigators, insurance brokers, life sciences, public health organizations, life insurers, and most importantly, patients need access to that data. I will say the fact that's listed last is so concerning to me, because we're so worried about these massive entities, massive billion-dollar entities, and how they are using the data. Data is the new oil, and how they're using the data to position themselves in this new world. And the patient is being thought of at the last possible resort. Now we're saying, oh, it would help the patient for the life insurers and others to have access to the data. Would it be in my best interest for the life insurer to have access to my data, my health data, in order to write me a policy? I don't know. Might. I don't really know as a patient, but I do know this. I want to have the option to share it with life insurers. I want to have the option to share it with public health organizations, to share it with life sciences, to share it with health navigators, to share it with payers and other providers. The problem is, and now we're getting into me. This is me talking right now. My lens is as a former CIO for a health system, and my lens today is as an employer of a 10-person company, and it's also as a patient and someone who has cared for their parents, somebody who's cared for my wife's parents from afar and whatnot. And I believe this whole thing breaks down because we are doing everything in our power to protect these large entities. The patient needs to be the locus of the health record, period. And the patient is not the locus of the medical record today. In fact, the patient, we often hear these things, and they're even said by health system CEOs. They say, oh, it's the patient's data. It's not the patient's data. It's information about the patient, but it's not the patient's data. The patient only owns the data in one state in all 50 states of the United States. One state has a law on the books that says the patient owns the medical record. In all other 49, we do not own the medical record. The creator of the record owns the medical record. And the creator of the record is usually the care provider who works for an entity, and then that entity owns that medical record. Okay? And until that changes, they own the medical record. Now, laws and governance has come into place and said, hey, how 21st century cures, all this is about breaking that up a little bit and moving the data out so that it can help the individual. But I think these are all trying to maintain the status quo of power and still share the data in a way that helps all the most powerful people in the system. With the patient at the locus as the locus, I think Todd Park had this right. Todd Park's assertion was essentially, give everyone a button they can click and download the information to their phone or their computer or whatever they want to download it to. Their entire medical record, all their claims, you name it, download it. Blue button is what it was called. He was heading in the right direction. I would like to go to every health system that I've ever been at and click a blue button and download it to my phone. Quite frankly, I trust my phone more than I trust where it's sitting today in some health system's repository. Look, I'm not being inflammatory here. The numbers just prove it. Health systems are a target, and they're not a hard target for these entities to crack into. And they don't seem to be having a problem getting to the crown jewels and taking the medical record. And so I would feel better if my data did not reside in any of these health systems until I showed up. So I would have the data. I would be the locus of the information. I would share it with the providers that needed that data. I would share it with the providers that I knew could protect my data. And I would have the option, if my data got breached from one of the health systems, if I could pull it from their system and say, you no longer have access to it. So I have the ability to go from one data or one provider to another provider based on their ability to secure my data and to protect my data, because that's part of my health as well, is protecting my data and my privacy. And then I think we can open up access through the patient. So if we say, look, every health system has to share it with the patient, period. Let's stop there. They have to share it with the patient. And then the patient becomes the locus of sharing it with the rest of the world. It comes through me, and then I have a choice. Do I share it with life insurers? Do I share it with public health? Do I share it with life sciences? Do I share it with health navigators? Do I share it with payers? And I may choose to, based on the services they offer me. Let's make the patient the most powerful entity in this equation instead of continuing what clearly is not working, which is allowing others to care for. In fact, the arrogance of it is amazing to me. It's like we continue to protect the most powerful entities in this equation who continue to drive up the cost of healthcare over and over again. And think about how crazy this is. We have these on-ramps, and these on-ramps are run by VCs. And the VCs' incentive is growth. It's growth. They want to take these companies public. They want an event where they make a lot of money. In order to do that, they need to grant access to as many use cases as makes sense. So they're going to continue to push this needle as far as they possibly can. And the providers are going to continue to pull away from this as much as they possibly can. There's going to continue to be that push and pull. Whereas if you gave the data to the patient, now has the power. People are going to be going to the patient saying, I can serve you better. Let me tell you what I can do. Now, we're worried about the patients not knowing what they're going to do with the health data. I don't know what to do with my health data, but I tell you, I think I can shop well enough to find somebody I trust who is going to know what to do with that data. And now they're marketing directly to me. Patient as the locus of the health record, I think it's the answer to this. Not that you were asking, but I think this is one of those problems that's not going to go away anytime soon. We're going to get a little progress here, a little progress there. Look, I've been in healthcare for the better part of a decade, and it's been a very little progress for 10 years. Patient as the center, as the locus of the medical record, I think would dramatically change things. Anyway, that's my two cents. Take it for what it's worth. There's not a huge coalition of people lining up behind me, by the way. So be careful with that opinion, because when I throw it out there, people look at me and they go, that makes sense. It'll never happen, is usually the response I get. And it's a shame. Anyway, that's all for today. Don't forget, share this podcast with a friend or colleague. Use it as foundation for mentoring moving forward. In fact, you could talk about this and say, how crazy do you think Bill is? Anyway, we want to thank our channel sponsors who are investing in our mission to develop the next generation of health leaders. Notable, ServiceNow, Enterprise Health, Parlance, Certify Health, and Panda Health. Check them out at thisweekhealth.com/today. Hey, special thanks to two people, Brendan Keeler, great write-up, Epic V Particle, and of course, Matthew Holt, always does great work over at the Healthcare Blog. So we really appreciate them pulling all this stuff together and doing a great job with the journalism. That's it. Thanks for listening. That's all for now.